You're listening to Australia's fastest growing podcast network. This is the Lifestyle Pod Network. You're listening to The Dream Show with Jane Theresa Anderson.
Welcome to The Dream Show. I'm Jane Theresa Anderson, and this is episode 87. Matt is my guest today, but before I put you on to Matt, just a little reminder that if you're listening to this podcast in real time, next Friday is Christmas Eve. And as with last year, the only week that we missed in the whole year was the Christmas weekend for no particular reason other than we took a break. So although this is episode 87, there won't be an episode coming out next Friday, but there will be episode 88 will come out the following week, which if you're listening in real time will be New Year's Eve. So that said, I'd love to introduce you to Matt, who goes back quite a long time with his dream. And we get very excited with this. I think you're going to love this. There's a lot of humor along the way from Matt, and I try to keep up with it. Enjoy. Welcome to The Dream Show, Matt. How are you?
I'm doing pretty well. Yourself?
Only doing pretty well? Why? What's up?
You can always do better, and I'm happy where I am.
That's a really good start. Matt, thanks for coming on the show. And of course, I don't know your dream because I never do, but I do know that you emailed me and said, this is a very old dream. So I have no idea how old or why you're curious about it, but I'm listening.
Okay. Well, this was a dream back when I was about, about 10 to 13 years old. And so we're looking at about 15 years ago now. And this was it was more of a nightmare that kind of stuck with me. And it was like one of the last dreams I've actually had, in a very long time. It just kind of stuck with, and it seemed like everything else was just muted. If I ever had a dream, I wouldn't remember it anymore. And I talked to a few friends who were getting into dream therapy and just alternative medicines, and they were saying, giving me all these like books on what stuff means. And since I wasn't getting any more dreams after that, I was just like, maybe I'm just resolving everything and I don't need to know it. So it didn't really bother me until about like 5 years after that, when I had a similar dream where the same feelings came up, but it was a totally different setting, totally different people. I mean, everything was different except for that same feeling again. So, and then that was like when last showed up then. So it's, I think I've also heard there's a problem when you stop dreaming altogether. So hopefully I can figure out something to work on from here.
Oh, of course, I can help you in every possible way. And first up, just to put your mind at rest, if you do stop dreaming, as in if your physiological brain stops going through the dreaming process, within about 7 days, you virtually drop down dead. So we do know that you are dreaming. There is a physiological reason to dream apart from everything else. And if you put a person into a sleep laboratory and you allow them to sleep a full 8 hours sleep, but you stop them from dreaming, and you do this by implanting putting electrodes on the brain and noticing the brainwave patterns for dreaming and stopping that. After just 2 nights of 8 hours sleep and no dreams, you're actually quite emotionally disturbed. It's a little bit like the DTs. And the experiments have stopped there with humans, but when it's done with animals, after about a week, they die. So we absolutely know for sure that you are dreaming. What you're not doing is remembering the dreams. So, and is there a problem with that? Well, we'll find out.
So when you say DTs, you're actually talking detox?
Yes, yeah.
So you're saying we're addicted to our dreams?
Well, maybe, yeah. Delirious tremens when you the body shakes. Yeah. It's a lot of brain chemical stuff goes on while you're dreaming that just keeps everything in balance, you know. But anyway, Matt, what we'll do, given that, is I'd love to hear the original dream that you had, you know, between the age of 10 and 13. And then, of course, and after that, the dream that you had 5 years later, and then we'll go in from there.
Okay. Well, this, I've had a lot of time to re-examine this dream, but this was, I had this about when I was 13. I think I said that earlier, like 10 to 13. And it kind of started with me looking outside at myself. I walk into this kitchen that I've never been into and go up and see my mom as I've never seen her. Like, these are back when I saw her as her old wedding photos that I never knew her as. She didn't look like that when I recognized her. But I came in there and I just saw her. I saw her preparing vegetables and preparing food for this big block party. And we've never had a block party. I don't know where any of that's coming from. But I see them, I see that she's getting ready for this block party, and I ask where my dad is, who actually at that point in my life, they had just gone through a divorce. So I asked where he was, and she was just happy saying he was outside. I went outside to look for him, and I didn't see him, but it didn't bother me at all. I just kind of started saying hi to everybody who was there. And it was all these supposedly neighbors. I had in my head that they were neighbors, but they were faces I'd never seen before. Just random people, like adults, kids. And I'd say hi to some of the adults, and the kids were just playing off to the side. I felt like I was part of the host. Like, this was our party, so I was trying to be nice to everybody. And this is where it started getting weird, because I looked up, and even though it was like I guess it was nighttime, and we had those tiki torches up. I guess we were all extravagant back then, but we didn't have these type of parties in real life. So this is, I don't know where this came from, but I guess it was nighttime, and saw some like dust stuff like fall from the sky. Some, like, I guess just spores, I guess is the best thing to call it. And it would get onto, I saw it, like, land on some of the hamburgers that some guy was using this, using a grill. And it made, once the spores hit it, the meat kind of bubbled up, getting all pimply. And it just kind of, like, got, it exploded, and no one noticed, but then looked back to normal after it all popped. And I'm like, that doesn't look right. I ran in to tell my mom something's wrong with the food, and she wouldn't listen because she was too busy doing something. But she was all cheerful, which is not unlike her, but it was like focused cheerful. Something that, I mean, a dedication I haven't really seen in her. I don't know where all that's coming from. I don't know where these things are. But she's focused on doing that. She says, no, just go out and play, entertain the guests. And I'm like, oh, okay. I go out and I'm like staring at this hamburger because I want to know what's going on with it. And I see it gets served up to one of the neighbors. They take a big bite out of it, and then they start getting covered with those same pimple things that just slowly covers them. They fall to the ground. They all pops up, and then they just stand right back up normal and dressed in, like, I guess what the classic nerd outfit was, like a buttoned down white shirt and these big black rimmed glasses that kind of emerged out of their head or something. It's just all of a sudden there. And he, like, after he was in that outfit, nobody else notices this. I'm like trying to get people's attention, saying, hey, who's this guy? This is the guy who was here. And he decided to pick out this bag. I guess he had some more of the dust. I don't know. And started spreading it on other food. And I was running around to everybody saying, no, don't eat that. The food's bad. Don't touch it. And mom comes out and says, hey, there's nothing wrong with the food. Just be quiet, man. And I'm like, but you don't understand. And then, more and more people, not even noticing this is going on, they're taking bites and transforming, and the whole yard is now filled with science nerds. I mean, they all have the glasses. They're all in the button-down white shirt, black dress pants, I think. And I decided I had to get out of there. I just decided that this whole place isn't safe anymore for me, and I got to go. So I run out of our yard, which is amazingly big for some reason, it's like a community backyard. So I guess I was running towards somebody else's house. Mm-hmm. And as I'm leaving, a big chain link fence shoots up to the skies as far as I can see. And I'm thinking, I just got to get away. So I start climbing this fence, and I get like halfway up, and I guess they all notice. I look down, and like all the rest of the people are transforming. There's just a big pile, and I'm seeing everybody pop. So I start running up faster, and I lose my shoe. That becomes important later. So I'm running up, and the grill somehow transforms also. They put a whole bunch of meat in there, close the lid, and it turns into one of those ball cannons that you use at like a tennis court or like a batting cage that throws the baseballs at you so you can hit them back.
Yeah.
And it starts shooting them, but they're shooting hamburger wads at me. Well, like trying to escape. They're at this. And so things are getting stuck onto the fence because it's uncooked meat, I guess. And I'm climbing up there as fast as I can. Then everything goes into like a cartoon type status. It turns into frames where I'm seeing, and what Matt didn't know is at that moment, his bare foot hits. I mean, I'm seeing text in my dream here. It's kind of creepy. And I slowly end up putting my foot down, the one that's uncovered, onto that piece, and it starts coming up the leg, and I fall off the fence into the crowd, and I'm waking up.
What did you
that
say?
That really messed with me.
What did you say? You put your foot on at the end there?
One of the hamburger patties that was shot at me.
One of the patties.
On one of the chain link fences. Yeah. Pieces and that I was using to prop myself up, and yeah. That's where I hit. And it came up the leg, and I'm like, ah! And it was like falling in like different frames. Like I didn't see myself moving at all. It was just one picture of me there, one picture of me smaller. It was like I was outside of this the whole time whenever I wasn't talking to people, I was watching myself talk to people.
Yeah.
I mean, I wasn't really in their dream.
Yeah.
But the only characters I recognized was my mom, who was younger than I've ever actually known her, just from her pictures, and just the generic neighbors, which is more people than I've ever really seen before, but they were all over for our party. So that kind of stuck with me.
Like the hamburgers.
Yeah.
Like stuck with me, like hamburgers on a chain link fence. With your mum, your mum was much younger, but you said she was kind of like the age that she was in the wedding photo that you remembered
right.
at the time. Yeah.
I mean, she ended up hurting her back like as I was growing up. So I didn't know her as the overactive, like, long-haired person that she was in the wedding photos that I kept seeing.
All right, yeah.
But she was completely different. I mean, I still recognized her, but everything didn't seem real. Well, it is a dream, but yeah, that's, you know, hopefully you know what I mean.
I do. That's absolutely fantastic. What a wonderful story. I'm going to ask you, actually, I'm going to look at this dream a little bit before going to the
sure.
to the next dream. And I'm going to start by asking you a few questions. When you,
oh, you're going to ask
Yeah.
To.
When you think about your mum in that wedding photo, and as you say, she was quite a different person from the one that you knew after she'd heard her back. Just without thinking too much about it, Matt, now looking back, what kind of personality do you think your mum had in that wedding photo before she hurt her back? What kind of, if you met her now, what kind of energy would she have at that age? What kind of personality?
She was, from what I could tell, she was just way overly happy. I mean, she was a very religious person who met my dad through Bible school. So this was like destined by God to happen.
Mm.
So this was like her giant wish was fulfilled. And even after they were separated, it was still, she still thinks about trying to get back with them. I mean, she was just happier then.
Right. So she's kind of like happy and idyllic.
Yeah. And I mean, and energetic because she, was, a normal weight at that point, but she'd be, she almost like 2.5 times that now.
Right, okay.
And has been that since I've known her. So she's an entirely different makeup. I mean,
yeah. And, one other question. Hamburgers. When you think back to being 13 when you had the dream, what did you think of hamburgers then? Nice, not so nice? What was your feeling about hamburgers?
I was a big meat eater. But one thing that might have a bearing on this is that if it was closer to the 13 and 14 year old range, then it could have been that I took a course at a local college during like a summer school thing to help get additional credits for school. And they were teaching, one class that they had was a cooking class that was led by two vegans and a vegetarian.
Mm.
And they showed the videos on how you make veal. And, I quickly became a vegetarian overnight, and that lasted about 2 months before I kind of shook that off.
But, again.
But okay. I believe this was before that. I mean, I didn't have any problem with hamburgers at all.
Okay.
At the time, but
what happened when you went to the school, the cooking school, and learned and saw the video about veal and what happens to veal could have been, in a sense, a further resonance from the dream. You know, sometimes when there's an issue in a dream, which we're going to go into, and you don't fully get it at the time, you can sometimes meet a similar issue in waking life. And that's when you do say, is this waking life but a dream as well? So, you know, we'll come to that. Just a few pointers about your dream, Matt. One is that feeling of, as you say, apart from when you were talking, it was like you were outside of the dream. You were either looking in or you were seeing it in cartoon version with text underneath. You know, that sense. Now, most dreams, of course, we're totally in them. We're really in the whole feeling situation. We're us in the dream, and everything's hyper felt and hyper emotional, and hyper vivid in a dream. And what happens is that when you, go through some kind of trauma, some kind of emotional upset or distress, sometimes your dreams can slip into more objective mode. So it's like almost like you step out of yourself in order to look at what's going on from a safe distance rather than actually experience the dream in the body. It's like you're experiencing the dream and looking at, oh, look, that's what Matt's, you know, if Matt lifts his foot one other higher up the fence, you know, that's where the text comes in. You're stepping away from it. So I think one aspect of this dream is that, as you said, you know, it was around the time or shortly after when your mum and dad had, in fact, divorced.
Right.
And whether it was the divorce or whether it was something else that was going on at the same time, and all sorts of things can be going on for 13-year-old boys as well. You know, there may have been some emotional issue there where, rather than be in the hot seat in the dream, you step outside yourself slightly to get a more objective, feel of the dream. And that also, although I'm going to go into the dream and interpret it, that may also be why you didn't recall another dream for 5 years, because the emotional issue that you were dreaming about, it may have been like, I don't really want to go there. I'm happy to dream, but I'm not happy to recall, so I'm not going to go there. I don't want to recall any more dreams. You know, I'm probably not completely understanding the dream. That's one of the most common reasons for stopping recall of a dream, is you get too spooked by one of them. Yeah, this is the kind of situation where you can get totally spooked, you know, frightened by a dream, and therefore not recall anymore. So we're going to go into it a little bit, and I feel it probably does relate to the fact that your mum and dad had been recently divorced for a number of reasons. One, that you see your mum in the photo in the dream as back when she was happy, like the beginning of the marriage, you know, totally idealistic about the whole thing. As you said, it was like it was divinely instituted. You know, it's like that all her wishes were fulfilled. Now, in a dream, everybody is also an aspect of yourself. So it's almost like straight up at the beginning of this dream is, you know, this is about my childhood when all my Matt's wishes were fulfilled. But this is also a time when my wishes were let down, you know, whether it was that your parents separated or something else. It was probably one of your first times in life when you began to realize that things aren't always quite as rosy as you had believed them to be. And what I love about your dream is it's so, you keep coming back in the dream to transform, to make everything right. There's all these pop transform, pop transform, pop transform in your dream. And what I get from that is it's the feeling that there is change going on. You know, there's transformation in the dream, but you don't like the change. It's like, oh God, these people are all turning to nerds. I don't want to be one of those. Quick, I've got to get out of here fast. Right. Now, just hold that thought. And remember that your mum in the dream also said to you, or you said, just go out there and try and be nice to everyone. Try to look like you're enjoying yourself, you know. So we've got that false thing. Try to be nice to everyone. Try to enjoy. It's like, I don't want to do this. Like, you know, if I want a block party, I want the block party the way that I would have. I don't want to go out and try to be nice to everybody. And I definitely don't want to be hit with hamburger dust and turn into a nerd. So the whole thing is like going against the grain of what you really want to happen. So,
okay, well, go ahead.
Yeah, my feeling is that at the time of the dream, whether it was the divorce or something else, you felt obliged to help your mom or help your dad or whoever and do the right thing by everybody and almost do what they expected of you and, you know, meet the changes head on. But you didn't like this. You didn't like this at all. This was not what you wanted for yourself. You saw your destiny as quite a unique human being. You definitely did not want to be the nerd that everybody else seemed to be. You didn't want to fall into a trap of sameness with everybody else. That's the kind of feeling from the dream. And the fact these hamburger spores kind of fall out of the sky, you know, the sky in our dreams can be, it's like ideas, you know, ideas are invisible. It's always up there. It's in the air. You know, it's not where you stand on the ground and you make things happen. The air is like, oh yeah, ideas. And these spores are falling out of the air and transforming everyone into nerds. So it's almost like, you know, you're feeling that you're in an environment where if you don't make a stand, you're going to end up just falling into this kind of conformist nerd template that you really did not want to be. And that's why you've got the chain link fence at the end and you're trying to escape. It's like the fence is, it's like in the dreams, that's the, you're feeling closed in, you're feeling trapped and you've just got to get out. That's the essence of the dream. How does that sound so far?
Actually, that hit on something that that you'll probably find fits in very well here. As I said, that they believe that they were destined by God to be together. I mean, he was doing traveling ministry. He was going to different places and preaching, and I was the first living child of them. So they kept saying that I was chosen by God to be on this earth.
Oh, wow.
that was, and so my role was to be, I mean, that some supernatural force decided that I belonged to be here. And I had not so much a responsibility, but why would they do that if I wasn't extra important? I don't know. Mm-hmm. I got a big Jesus complex out of
it. Yeah.
And so like trying not to conform is a really, kind of, I guess it really shouldn't be a shocking revelation here, but I guess it's more me than I realized.
Yeah, I would say so. You know, we can have an inkling of what's going on, but when you actually look in a dream and see the depth of it, you can often find that although you've retained an inkling of that feeling, you push, you know, we all do this, we push down the bits that we really find difficult to assimilate assimilate like a hamburger, you know. Yeah. you were not surrounded by the kind of food and nourishment, aka the hamburger, that you really wanted to become your own individual and unique person rather than being given the burden of being told that you didn't have any decision making and how you were going to turn out.
Well, they always said that I had like decisions in the process, but then they were always saying that God was this and God was that. And I was just like, well, how could I have my own choice? Mm. I don't really know how to, relate that one very well.
Yeah. There are some other interesting symbols in your dream, but I want to get to the one that you had 5 years later. But, you know, when you were talking about the block party, a dream will often use plays on words as well. So even though a block party is a block party, and you said, well, we didn't have block parties. So I'm thinking, okay, so this is symbolic. So a block is where we've got a block ourselves, where we've got a limitation. So rather, you know, and a party is a community, as you said, it was a neighborhood community. And from what you've just said there, you know, your destined, the role that you were told that you were destined to fulfill would have been, you know, as a missionary type person, would have been to work within the community, within the neighborhood, you know, if not literally, symbolically. But you've got a block party happening. It's like, yes, I don't really want to do that, actually. Like, I don't want to be, it's not like community at age 13. It's not hamburger, it's not steak, it's not pork, it's not this, it's not that. A hamburger is what you make from sometimes all the leftover meat kind of put together in odds and ends, you know. A hamburger is homogenous or homogeneous or however you like to pronounce it. It hamburger comes out of a factory chute, you know, and whether you're told, interestingly enough, whether you're told that you're ultra special, Jesus type, or whether you're the same as everyone else, either way, that's a template.
Yeah, that is. It is definitely a template, and it's, the thing is that I don't really feel that they were the ones pushing it on me. It was just like, this was their choice, this is how things happen, and I just happened to be the first person from that. So they gave me a name from the Bible and made this, and it was like, okay, there is some kind of plan here.
Matt, you said you were the first living child, so obviously they had, a miscarriage or bereavement?
There was only one miscarriage. Yeah. And I think that was because of a nutrition thing, or that he was of the branch that also said that God takes care of health insurance. Oh. You know, that whole division. I'm being glib with it because, you know, I decided that I have to choose my own life, so I chose my beliefs with it. But so I hope not offensive to how I'm describing this religion.
I completely understand, and I guess, you know, maybe that glibness has been your survival, and equipped you with a fantastic sense of humor and jollity, and that glibness. I guess the beginnings of that is there in the dream when you take that objective view rather than subjective. And the thing is, I mean, I'm sure you've thought through this and understood it clearly. But when a parent loses a child, but you know, particularly the miscarriage of the first child, when you know, everything has gone into this first child and suddenly it's not there, you can imagine how ultra special the next child is. You know, it's like, oh wow, you are coming extra special. And so even despite their religious background or as well as their religious background, you come with this, oh, this is the one that God let through, you know. So you kind of come through with the burden, so to speak, of the magical child as well.
Yeah, and then they tell me that Matthew's supposed to mean a gift from God. I'm just like, what am I supposed to
do? Yeah, it's huge. It's absolutely huge. And so, you know, in your dream, losing that shoe, in your dream, our shoes are often our standing in life, you know, how we stand on our own two feet. If you lose a shoe, you maybe that's good. Maybe you've got barefoot, you know, maybe you're better in contact with the ground. But on the other hand, you can stand on sharp things or you can stand on hamburger patties.
Well, I do know that at that age, when I was climbing fences back then, it was easier for me to climb without the shoe. I mean, so I think that, well, I can't say I really know anything what any of it really means, but I think it was a relief to lose the shoe because I thought I could get away faster.
Okay, that's lovely. I love the way that you said that. Okay, so what you're doing in the dream is losing the shoe. The shoes...
But it was accidentally that I lost the shoe, but it was a relief that I lost it because...
I get it. It does. It helps enormously because, you know, in a sense... You know, you hear people use, I can't think what the cliche is or the saying, but people say, oh, you know, you were born into your shoes or you were born into the shoes of, a missionary, or, you know, the shoes that you're expected to wear, or you grow up to fill the father's shoes, you know, that kind of thing. So in a sense, to lose a shoe being a relief from the dream, even though that was how you, even though you climbed fences barefoot in waking life, it's that sense of in the dream of, oh yeah, I'm not going to grow up to fill the shoes that I've been told I'm going to fill. I am in escape mode here. I am going to get over this fence, you know?
Oh, okay.
So all of that was going on for you at 13. And if we'd been able to talk about it then, you might have got a clearer view of it. But clearly you went on to become your own beautiful person anyway. But I'd love to know what happened in the dream that you got 5 years after that.
Okay. Well, before we hit that one, just on that first one real quick, there was a little bit of grooming. But before my dad left, I did learn a lot. He did try to install, well, I guess that's the best term for it, installing computer programming knowledge to, because he was a big mechanical person. Like, after he stopped doing the religious thing, he went into, he did a lot of mechanical work, and so he wanted me to help with the computer programming work, and we were just going to be able to do everything, and so he got me in. And that thing, and I kind of felt like that was what he kept wanting me to do. So I guess that's the template.
That's the template. That's the nerd template, and that's the shoes again as well. We are well spotted.
I think that's where that comes from. Yeah. Anyways, okay. I didn't even put that together. So thank you for that. Okay. So the other dream was I was at my current age. I was at like a 16, 17. Actually, no, it was in my apartment when I, my like second apartment when I was 18. I just started moving out on my own there. And we had a whole bunch of people over. We had a whole bunch of people in the party. They're all friends that I knew of at the time. Just like any of the other parties that we go every week, things very similar. And then we're just chatting away, having a grand time, and somebody opens, there's a knock on the door. The girlfriend at the time opens the door, and it's my ex-friend who was her ex-boyfriend who came up, and he just, all he said was hi. But for some reason, I stand up, look at him, say, "What are you doing here?" And I run, like, further into the apartment, and I lived in a horseshoe-type of apartment. You know, the door's on one side, it comes down to the kitchen, and then down the curve is the bedroom. It was just kind of a big U, that's what this apartment was. And I saw him, I said, "Don't want any, I mean, what are you doing here?" And I ran away from him towards like inside the apartment. Ended up grabbing the handle of the refrigerator to kind of slow me down because I had to turn around this corner real quick. And it opened up. I slipped. I landed on my back. Got up. Went into the room. And as soon as I closed the door, I ended up waking up. Now, it was the same escapist feeling that was in there. And what he represents was something, he represents actually a lot, because when my dad stopped doing the, when he joined the military doing the doing the mechanical work, he ended up becoming, like, going into the Navy. Mm-hmm. So I was a Navy brat, spending those first years moving from place to place to place.
Yeah.
This guy was when we landed here, like after the divorce, we stayed in that one city. So he was like my best friend for most of that time. You know, he was the cool guy whose parents let him smoke and drink like before we were old enough. But we made a deal that he was going to like teach me how to be cool like the other kids, because he just was the cool rebel guy in our grade. And it turned out that he put me in between me and my girl, thinking that I was trying to break up like their friendship or something. And I had to break off the friendship with him because he was trying to bring his issues into my life here. And that's why I was like, no, you're out of here. No, get out of here. And I just took off. He was a big thing because, like, the entire time I was stable in this one place, that was the first time I'd ever been 7 years in one place. So, but he was, like, the friend for those first five of those 7 years. So he was, I wanted to be done with him, with all of that. And I ran off and I ran into the room. After I landed on my back, I ran into the room, closed the door, and I woke up then, as soon as the door was closed.
So the same kind of escape. Just one other question about that guy.
Sure.
What might he have shared in common with your dad? I know straight up you're going to say nothing, but have another think about it.
Well, since I asked him to be, asked him to help teach me, like, what was the thing... Probably as a mentor.
Yes, yeah. Interesting, because I picked that up. You know, obviously, you know, you've noticed that these two dreams that you remembered have both a similar feeling of, no, I've got to escape, I've got to get away now. So it brought up that kind of feeling. And because he was originally going to teach you how to be cool, a.k.a.
That sounds so silly. So it's go, okay. Ahead, go ahead.
You were 18. But, you know, cool, a.k.a. not a nerd. You know,
well,
so we're kind of going back to that dream again, but specifically, he was someone who had a template that you were interested in this time. You wanted to be cool. He was going to show you how to be cool. As you say, he was stability for five out of those 7 years. He was your best friend. He was stability. That freeze frame. Go back to your dad before the divorce. Your dad had a plan for you too. He had a template. He was stability before the marriage broke up. You know, there are some overlaps there. And of course, what the cool guy did, was, you know, bring up issues of betrayal when he then stood between you and the girlfriend. And, you know, I don't know how much you saw your mum and dad's breakup as betrayal.
Okay. Yeah. Sorry. Go ahead. Sorry for.
No, it's all right. For all our listeners, one of the funny things about Skype is that sometimes when I'm talking, I don't actually hear the other person speaking at the same time. So I quite often listen back to the shows and I think, God, I sound so rude. I'm talking right over someone, but I don't actually know that you're talking. Okay, so what I was seeing there between the two dreams, Matt, was that between the cool guy and your dad, they both happened at some time of stability, you know, pre-divorce. They both may have felt like a betrayal to you at the end, and they both offered a kind of template for you, which you rejected and ended up running away and escaping from. I loved in that second dream where you grabbed the fridge door to slow down. Now, I know that was your actual apartment. I know that was your actual fridge. But a fridge is something that, you know, is cold and freezes.
There is something about that. The door is actually – the door, in order for that to have happened, the door had to be mounted exactly opposite. Because when I woke up and I looked at my fridge, I noticed that it couldn't have happened.
Oh,
I don't
good.
Know if that helps, but the door was actually had to be reversed in order for that to have happened.
I love it because it makes it even more symbolic. Because what I was going to say was, we put things in fridges. Well, maybe, you know, actually things like going off hamburgers to stop them going off, to slow down, to slow down putrefaction or whatever. You know, fridges, when we go freeze frame, we slow things down. Fridges are freeze, are slow. And in the stream, you're running fast. So, hey, what a wonderful thing to grab the fridge door to slow yourself down. I just like your symbolism, Matt. It's really good.
Okay. Thank you. I
guess. So, I didn't mean to be. Summarizing a little bit here, I feel that you remembered that second dream because there were resonances with what happened when after the divorce and all those issues there. And you particularly said when you were talking about that second dream that this guy, you know, it felt like he was laying his issues on you. And of course, you know, even though that wasn't your mum and dad's vision of what they did, they kind of laid their issues on you too by telling you what your life's path was, and without allowing you the respect and excitement of discovering it for yourself. So what I'd really like to do is ask you, first of all, how you feel about what we've talked about today, and then I'm going to suggest something to help you to recall more dreams, you know, which will be helpful to you. So first of all, how do you feel about what we've talked about today?
Well, they had more in common than I kind of even expected. I mean, see, I don't really have a problem with, like, the nerd stereotype. I'm actually... It was weird because I've always thought of them as nonconformists because they were just doing whatever they liked to do or just what they were great at. And so it was, it was like the conforming of nonconforming.
Yeah, I understand.
So it's like everything was becoming nonconform. I mean, see,
all rebels rebel in the same way, you know. Everybody, yeah.
It's rebellion.
Rebellion is an archetype.
The shoes was an interesting thing. I really didn't expect that to have. I thought I was just filling in that had something to. That I had to make it so the story in my head worked. But I remember specifically that that's when everything went cartoon. So, I mean, it's amazing these little things actually have additional value, I guess.
Yes.
Is my point.
Yeah, it is. It's, and especially with hindsight, Matt, you know, now you're looking back some 15 years, you know, you can see things clearly. Where do you feel you're at now with the as you described the Jesus complex?
Well, a few groups that I'm a part of that are trying to be activists and trying to help make things better have been kind of fighting. There's been a lot of infighting there, and a lot of we're not doing enough, and we're not getting anywhere. That's like the general idea that's going on, and it's the activist part is like not going anywhere. And I just recently had to cancel I just recently tried to apply for an online college to do additional training in computer programming because at this point I kind of decided, well, I'm already groomed for this. I might as well get it on paper since I know some of it. So I might as well. But I found myself fighting getting the paperwork in. I found myself trying to not do it. But I have to figure out something because I'm not in a job that I can stay in forever. I'm not doing something I can do for any meaningful amount. So everything's kind of, what's my next step, I guess.
Yeah, okay. I think I understand completely how you're in that quandary, you know, and the more you think about this, you realize that, you know, the rebel is an archetype, the nonconformist is an archetype of nonconformism, you know. So in the end, it comes down to developing your own unique and wonderful person, which for many people doesn't start until they're much older than even you are now. But, you know, through talking about this now, I think you have that. And from some of the stuff that's been laid on you as a child, I think you can, you know, you can maybe be a head start in now realizing the importance of finding your own path, you know, to discover your own unique thing. And I think as you probably ponder, Matt, you know, what we've been talking about over the next few days, I think you'll become much clearer on what you want to do and what you don't want to do. You know, and if you do this college course, so you've got the bit of paper in computer programming, you know, that's not to say how you're going to use it. There are many ways you can use it in conformist, nonconformist, or totally unique and previously unthought of ways, you know. So I think...
I love circular logic. Go ahead.
Yeah. you're the one that told me you had all the caffeine. It's not me.
I'm still recoiling from the non-conforming of the non-conformist, and so I'm kind of stuck in that loop a little bit. So sorry.
What I'm going to suggest from here, you know, now that you're looking for the next steps forward, is two things. One is to actually spend some time listening to some of the podcasts so that you get to hear some of the other dreams that people have had in their adult life and how they've been able to use the information, use the insight that they've gained about themselves by listening to their dreams to help them make decisions. You know, a dream doesn't give you a guidance or a dream. You can't look at a dream and say, oh, that dream just told me what to do. It's made the decision. But if you listen to just a handful of podcasts, you'll hear people gain insight about themselves, which gives them the strength to make the kind of decisions that you're looking at. And the reason that I'd like you to do that, Matt, is because there'll be a part of your dreaming brain that will start thinking, oh, you know, maybe it is safe to start recalling some dreams again. They're not going to spook me out. They're not going to come up just because, you know, I've had a pretty traumatic time. But, you know, your dreams run by 3, 4, 5 dreams a night, depending on how long you sleep. Simply processing the last 24 to 48 hours of your conscious and unconscious experiences. So it can be really, really valuable just to use your dreams as a way to check in on your current mindset and to understand yourself more deeply. So I'd like you to just listen to a few podcasts so that it will encourage you in magical ways to actually start recalling some more dreams, which will be very helpful. And the other thing I'd like you to do is a kind of dream alchemy practice. And I had it in my mind just now. It's just run away. So let me just get it back. since you've so thoroughly enjoyed this circular argument or ambiguity over the conformist nonconformist,
it is. I mean, that's one thing. You're trained in logic. 1 = 1. In computer programming logic. Mm. When you have circular, it's like what creativity is born from. You know, it's
just that's kind of, right. You know, it's when you break out of the logic. Is when miracles happen, you know, not necessarily the religious miracles, but the miracles of a creativity, of seeing a new path, getting a new idea. You know, because you may break out of a way of thinking and see an idea and then bring logic back in order to work on that idea, to focus on it, to manifest it. But it's the non-rational, non-creative, non-linear jumps of creativity that actually can get you to new places. And I think that's probably, you know, a way to go at the moment. So what I'd like you to do is play, and I do say the word play, in whatever media you want, whether it's programming, whether it's a pen and pencil, whether it's cartooning, whether it's writing a play, yeah, whether it's doing a bit of audio, whether it's making a YouTube video, but just play and nothing too serious. Just very, you know, spend only half a day, but play on producing something about the conformist, nonconformist. All right. And in playing with the idea and just thoroughly enjoying it and not making it a perfectionist thing, not making it anything particularly special, just having fun with it. You actually, find that quite insightful and you not only explore some ideas, but you might, pop some of those hamburgers and produce something better than a template nerd.
Okay.
Can you do that?
Fair enough.
Yes. Okay. So you do that and then get back to me, you know, after a period of time, with what you did. And any insights you got from it that I can, you know, you either just share with me so I know what happened to you, or that you might say, oh, look, can you just share this with the podcast audience or on your blog? Because this is what happened next and I'd love to share it. So that would be really great.
Okay. I will definitely keep you guys informed.
Okay.
I've just got a lot of images.
I think you're going to have to start right now, you know.
Yeah, probably.
Look, thanks so much for not only bringing a couple of wonderful dreams, but being a great personality on the show and having lots of fun. And I know that you've left us all now across our 30 countries contemplating the conformist, nonconformist. So thanks very much for sharing your dream. Well, thanks for listening to another episode of The Dream Show. That was fun, wasn't it? And if you're stuck for something to do because we don't have an episode next week, why don't you borrow Matt's Dream Alchemy? You know, the conformist, nonconformist, or you can change the title and you can write about the nonconformist, conformist. Just have a bit of fun. Take something from Matt's dream, take something from one of your own dreams and draw it, paint it, write about it. Do a performance artist piece on it. Do a YouTube piece on it. You know, whatever you do, don't make it a great big lavish production. Don't make it anything perfectionist. Just play. Play is a big word. Play for a morning. Play for an afternoon. Be playfully creative around just something from a dream. And you'll be surprised not only how much you enjoy yourself, but how much you learn along the way. Have fun. Have a wonderful Christmas season. And yes, we'll be back on New Year's Eve. to say goodbye to the old year, introduce another guest, and sit back and welcome 2011. Have a lovely 2 weeks. I'll speak to you then. I'm Jane Teresa Anderson.
If you've had a dream you'd like interpreted on this program, send your email to thedreamshow@lifestylepodnetwork.com. You can also follow Jane on Twitter at twitter.com/dreamsight. The Dream Show is a production of Dreamsight Corporation for the Lifestyle Pod Network. You can find more great podcasts like this one at lifestylepodnetwork.com.